Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice day. Looks great out there, Joe. Joe, all I was trying to get to yesterday was that I don't think Travis Kelce is getting the respect that he deserves as being a huge celebrity in America. I had to start with that again. I know we did it all yesterday. We're past it.
And I think I agree with you on that point. Like, I don't think people realize how popular Travis Kelce is.
Especially, that's the part. Because he's part of a team, right? And it's, I guess, put another way, what's more popular, Taylor Swift or the NFL?
Ooh. I mean,
the NFL, I think, hands down.
I don't want to, are we going to rehash?
I don't want to rehash. I just shouldn't have even said anything. But he is one of the top five most popular players in the most popular sport in America. So, like just by that,
yeah,
I think he is a closer comparable than people want to admit.
Can I say this? I don't think it's a ridiculous question. And later in the day, I was listening to another radio program, and they were having the same discussion. So it's not like I don't think it's. I think it's closer than a lot of people think.
I just don't. I got another look after it. We're Wheeze from down the hall, like looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, of course you are looking at me like I'm crazy.
We should think that.
You're talking about Taylor Swift all the time. Your contest for her tickets took down our phone lines.
Do you think they talk about Taylor Swift down there?
Yeah. But I'm. But if we were to, like right now, say, I don't want to do it because people will think it's actually happening. But if we were to theoretically, like, just give away a pair of Bills tickets right now, the contest line would be broken too.
Oh yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's a $300 ticket this weekend. You know, like,
which by the way, $300, pretty cheap for this game. Like compared to what tickets are going for, if you were able to get a pair of tickets. Oh, you're saying per ticket?
Oh, per ticket. Per ticket.
I misunderstood. Before we get into anything else, Brian, I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know who I'm thanking, but thank you to whoever returned my sunglasses at Samuel's Grand Manor. I left them. I was taking a picture on Thursday at the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame dinner, and you just put stuff down, completely forgot about them because I had actual glasses on my head. So whoever returned those to the Samuel's Grand Manor Lost and Found, thank you. You have no idea how appreciative I am. They were a gift from my wife for Christmas, and thank God someone returned them. So
very nice sunglasses.
They're very nice sunglasses, and I had gone the whole weekend without telling her they were missing. And thankfully, when I called Samuel's Grand Manor yesterday, the very kind woman at the desk said, yes, we have them. And she walked them out to my car. So thank you, whoever returned those sunglasses. It made my day.
So you're a nice sunglasses person. In my house, we can't be nice sunglasses people.
See, you mistook what I said. I am not. My wife bought me nice sunglasses.
So now, but now you are.
Well, no. If I'm in charge of buying my own sunglasses, $9.99 at Rite Aid would be the most I pay for sunglasses.
But you have, so now you have to be a nice sunglasses person.
Until those break, yes.
But you don't want them to break because they're nice sunglasses. Like, you have to be extra careful.
Don't get me wrong, they're very nice sunglasses. But if you would have said, Joe, would you have bought these sunglasses? Not in a million years. Not in a million years would I pay over $10 for sunglasses. That's how I've always been.
I pay more than $10, but I have sunglasses that the company will send me two replacements for free.
Oh, that's nice.
So they're basically like $10.
I shouldn't say, I mean, not to get into specifics, but I am eventually going to get prescription sunglasses, but my, you know, the health credit card they give you will pay for that. So technically, I'm still not paying for it. As someone who has sat on their sunglasses,
yeah,
repeatedly lost their sunglasses as this story, I would never personally give up that much money. I love the sunglasses my wife gave me. Don't get me wrong. Amazing gift. But if it was up to me, I would not be wearing. Yeah, I would not be
paying
that. I can't
do it. No. My wife knows not to get me expensive. Because you know how every April or May starts? I have to go online and order the replacement pair of sunglasses from last year.
Well, I have to say, and I lost
them all.
I don't usually talk myself up, but I mean, December to September.
Oh, that's a good run.
This is a pretty good run for me. So I'm
without losing or damaging them. Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Either one, I'm just going to do once a year.
There are bite marks because I do sometimes put the tips of my sunglasses in my mouth when I'm nervous.
Yeah, but now, just a tip, next time, you can just say that was your son.
Oh, yeah. Darn.
All right. Sounds better.
He doesn't have any teeth yet, though. So,
well, just pretend.
But again, thank you, because it was a very nice gift, and I'm so glad that I never had to tell her until last night. I did admit, oh, by the way, my sunglasses, someone had returned them. They were at Samuel's Grand Manor all weekend.
We were taking a trip down memory lane earlier this morning, Joe, with Google's 25th anniversary.
That's right.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Susan said it, and I was like, no way. It has to be older than 25 years. Because in 25 years, it's gone from, hey, we got this new internet thing, to like global domination.
Yeah.
There's a very short period of time to do that.
It's on your phone. It's what Google has, right? Smart speakers, Google Maps. No one uses Apple Maps. Everyone downloads Google Maps. That's how much better it is. Google Earth, where you can, and I love this feature, you can go back to 2007 and look at the pictures from the car from 2007 to now and see how places have either changed or stay the same.
When you think about just the Google itself, if you don't use that every day, I think a lot of people do. YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the most popular maps. It's insane. In only 25 years. I couldn't believe it.
And I know this isn't as big, obviously, because of the iPhone, but I mean, the second to the iPhone is Android, and that is a Google product.
Phones, it's all over the place. It's crazy.
Chromebooks. We even talked about that earlier. The Google Chromebooks. I mean, a lot of people don't have laptops anymore. A lot of people have Chromebooks, number one, because they're cheap.
Every student in America.
Yeah, Chromebooks.
In 2020, had one.
But I think what's also amazing is 25 years didn't strike me, Brian, how quickly they became so dominant.
Oh, yeah. For a hot minute there, it was a dogfight.
Yeah.
Remember all the search engines?
Well, it also reminds us that we are old, because I remember when Yahoo had the commercials of the guy singing Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Exactly. I mean, Yahoo was my homepage. It's where, before that,
Yahoo was my homepage too.
Yeah. And before that, you keyword on AOL. And I remember when we first got AOL at the Beamer house, it was an exciting day. And I could keyword every time Nickelodeon told me to keyword something and play Slime Time Live.
I can picture the Yahoo homepage from, 2001 or 90 or whatever one of those years it is in my head right now.
Yeah, it had stock quotes on it.
It had everything on it.
Yeah.
The news, everything. Yeah, I mean, Yahoo was king, and then it wasn't. It was almost like a overnight, like you see someone searching on Yahoo, that was, what are you doing, Grandpa?
Yeah.
Like, what are we using, Yahoo?
Now Yahoo is fantasy sports and email.
Yahoo has search run by Bing, formerly MSN.
Yep.
Which was also go.com, another one of those popular search engines. Yep. So you had Yahoo was the big one. Yahooligans in the computer lab at school, for me, that's the one they made us go on. That was the kid safe.
Kid friendly.
Search engine, had a couple of games on it too. Ask Jeeves.
Oh, yeah.
Which is still operating. Ask.com.
Did not know that till you told me this morning.
That was one of them. Dogpile,
Never heard of it.
That was one of them that we used. And I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. MSM was the big one that became Bing.
Well, MSM was Bing. MSM was big because if you had Microsoft Explorer, it automatically went to MSM.
It automatically opened it. And then you'd be like, what is this? You'd eventually Google.com and Google.
And it's funny. Like, Yahoo's like, we got to put more stuff. We got to have people on our site. And Google was, hey, we're going to beat you with literally just a search bar. Nothing else on the website. Like, Yahoo's like, but we got email. We have fantasy sports. We have all this news.
Google email.
Yeah, Gmail.
It's the email now. It used to be Yahoo. Everyone had a Yahoo email. Now everyone has a Gmail.
Yahoo is still pretty popular, and the only reason I know that is because of the contest. And a lot of people still have Yahoo emails.
Or they like maintained an email.
Yeah.
Like, they treat an email like a phone number, which I guess I would now. Like, I'm not going to change my...
I mean, I'm not one to talk about email because I'm still at AOL. So.
Oh, I was at Roadrunner. For a while, until I got the Gmail. I'm like, I have to switch this. I can't be going in this email. I need the professional email that everyone has.
Gmail really took over. And before Gmail, it was Hotwire. Remember? Not Hotwire. Is it
Hotwire? Hotmail.
Hotmail. Hotwire is a...
Hotwire is a hotwire.com?
Yeah. What is it?
I don't know. That's why it's not there anymore.
But Hotmail...
For a reason, it's not
Hotmail
around.
Was so popular, and now it really... I mean, at work, our whole operating, we got rid of Microsoft, and it's all Google now. Google Calendars, Google Gmail, it's all Google Docs. You guys write your morning show, you plan everything out on Google Docs.
Yeah, that is, it is kind of
in
nuts.
In 25 years, though, I would say in 2 years, Google was dominant.
Yeah, I mean, so 98 to now... In the year 2000, so many people went to Google looking for photos of Jennifer Lopez's Grammy dress.
It's amazing.
You remember that one?
No.
No?
No. I'm sorry.
I'll never forget it. It became the most popular search. The search returning the blue links, but no images. And that's how Google Images was born. Thank you to J-Lo.
Yes, thank you, J-Lo.
You looking at it right now? Should I leave you alone for the next...
That's a really good picture for 2000. It's a clear picture.
That's how usually, Google Images happen.
Usually you search a picture from 2000, it's grainy.
Yeah. They saw her, and then they, hey, you're going to need the good camera. Get that get that one over here.
it's a very nice dress.
Yeah, that's what they said. On the let me go. What am I even trying to Google right now? Yeah, they have videos, images, all the YouTube stuff, like everything, the maps, everything you could really think of. Hotwire is a internet and cable company in Florida right now. They used to, it was like a travel site.
Was it? Okay, I thought so.
AOL and Netscape Navigator is the two suggestions on the board
Netscape.
Here.
Yeah, Netscape also had a browser, though.
Yes, so it would bring I had right that there. For a little while.
Yes.
There's Internet Explorer, Netscape, and everyone uses Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Jeez, these guys.
Yeah, because remember,
they've really...
It went from Internet Explorer
really took it over.
To Fox, what was it, Foxwire? I don't know why I'm so hot on Wire today. Fox something. And then Google Chrome just took over everything, and that's all you use anymore.
It's, I don't know, it's, am I on Google? Yeah, I'm on Google Chrome right now. Oh. It is just nuts who, that they were, they're only 25 years old. That's the only thing. It's just, it is absolutely crazy to me. I heard that this morning and said, there's no way all of that happened. It seems like a lifetime ago. I also do think, Joe, it is a, Google, 25 years old, you can kind of mark that. 98, maybe that's the year that if you were born after Google, right? If Google has been around your entire life, you are like firmly in a different generation and mindset than everyone after. It's probably, you know, you could probably push that to people a little older than 25. You might go up to even 30 if you want. But if you're 25 years old right now or younger, you have just had a completely different childhood, upbringing, literally everything than even you and I. You're 35 now. I'm 33. It is amazing how some. I don't think there's any other point in history. Well, that's probably not true. You go back to the wars, right? But where people 7 years or so apart in age could have such vastly different experiences growing up.
Firefox is what I was thinking of. I completely agree. And someone put this on the text board, and this is how I mark it. If you don't remember getting AOL floppy disks and CDs in the mail, you are in a different generation than everybody. Because, I mean, you and I had such a great perspective. Our ages, we had such a great perspective on literally seeing this kind of technology mm-hmm. develop. We remember the Oregon Trail on a Apple, you know, one of the original Apple computers before the Macintosh. And now we have a phone in our pocket that has everything. I mean, we've literally seen it develop from the early computers to now.
It's the instant access thing. Like that moment in time. If you can't remember the world without instant access to almost anything, I mean, yep. you are living in a little bit of a different... I'll never forget driving from Rochester to Buffalo one night with my friend in the car who had, you know, one of the fancy new smartphones with a data plan and the internet on his phone, being able to answer, look up a question that we were talking about, and I was just so amazed. Like, what are you doing? Looking it up? You can just do that right here? We've just killed every barroom debate that you've ever had.
It is
and
kind
now
of
we have to have inane conversations like, who's bigger, Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift? You have to have questions that are unanswerable because every other question, someone's just like, well, hang on, why are we talking about it? Let me just Google it. And it just like kills everything. And if you don't remember the time before that, you're living in a different spot. KGB, remember that show? It was a text
literally
service.
Literally what I was about to just say. You paid a dollar a text.
You could text in and they would have people answer your question for you. And that was, I remember, the big thing in high school. It wasn't until the second half of being in college where that instant access for me was available.
I remember being at a Bison's game and having a discussion and just getting a little upset, maybe a little too upset over the conversation. I go, no, you are completely wrong. And I took my flip phone and I texted it to KGB to prove this person right. And then they still didn't believe me because they had never heard.
Yeah.
I mean, do you not watch TV? Remember that was like every commercial mm-hmm. was for KGB for a while. But it's how funny it is now. And you're right. The classic conversations of, no, it wasn't this person. Okay, I'll go to whatever you want to go to find, this person was in that movie.
We had to do, it was, is Kel dead? From Kenan and Kel? And now they're making there's a new
Good Burger. I believe they filmed that before the writer's strike.
It's coming out, soon.
Can't wait.
And that was the big thing, like, oh, did you hear, Kel? I'm like, what are you talking about? We had to text KGB to find out the answer. I mean, you would have never known the answer. It would have just been a mystery for the rest of your life or until the next time you were in front of a computer.
Or until Good Burger 2 came out.
It might not have came out. The writers would have been like, we can't write it. He's dead.
He's dead. Haven't you heard?
We can't do it. All right, Joe. I like the trip down memory lane, the old technology that has kind of passed by.
I do. And, I think it's funny when people will be cleaning out their house and just shows how some people, and, I'm sure I'm guilty, don't, clean out certain rooms, certain closets for a long time. And they'll say, I was cleaning out my desk and I found 3 old AOL CDs.
Oh, yeah.
I love seeing stuff like that, still wrapped up or even older, the AOL floppy disk where they gave you 50 free hours. That's how I convinced my parents to finally get the internet at home. We had a CD.
There's no way you'll spend 50 hours on the internet. The whole thing's free.
It's 50 free hours, and finally they said, okay, we probably should get on board with this.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking a lot about infrastructure over the next few days. There's a big meeting going on this morning, and then I think another session later on this afternoon, public meetings about the 33 project. And then Channel 2 had a story yesterday with the spotlight on Parkside Avenue and the bike lanes there, and a decision coming soon as to whether or not that'll be fully implemented. If you've looked at Parkside, you've driven anywhere around that area, you'll see just a million lines. It looks like the game Pickup Sticks.
Yes.
It just thrown off down on a street, and you got a million lines, but it's designed for bike lanes. How are those working out for you? Roads that have been turned into roads with dedicated bike lanes that are totally redone. How are you liking them right now? I'm thinking like Niagara Street downtown in Buffalo. Let us know, 803-0930. We'll be back here, BMAS and Beamer on WBEN.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, welcome back. BMAS and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. As always, we thank you for making us a part of your day today, tomorrow, and every day. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. And we are talking about the bike lanes that you are seeing on Niagara Street in downtown Buffalo. Also, hearings will start for Parkside, where there's an outline, as you've seen, especially if you go under the bridge, the rail bridge, which I'm very familiar with, on Parkside, you will see where there is a big painting on, or whatever you call the, big painting on the road of a bike, and that is the bike lane. And
is that what you call it?
A painting
of a bike on the road. Brought over Pablo. And he's Picasso, draw me up a bike.
It says, hey, this is for bikes, not for cars. But it is confusing.
It looks stupid. I mean, you look at the intersection, Parkside and Linden, North Buffalo, it looks stupid. The whole thing looks completely stupid,
but it's not
when
the
you
final,
take a look at
it. It's not the final plan. This is obviously just an outline
right.
of what they're going to do and what you'll... But let me tell you, I mean, Parkside as a street that I believe parts of already are very narrow, a word you used earlier, Brian, very narrow. As someone who lived off of Parkside for 2 years, it's going to take get some taking used to. But right now, the way it looks, very confusing. And I want to know...
It looks ridiculous.
Ridiculous is a good word.
But so if you've had experience with this, what do you think? I'm mixed right now. Is I sit here and say this looks ridiculous because this does. But
yes.
When it comes to adding these bike lanes on roads, I'm kind of a mixed bag in what I feel of the end result of these. 803-0930, where you can weigh in with us this morning. I think it has its positives and its negatives. And I brought up Niagara Street because I was thinking about this while driving on Niagara Street recently, where they've totally redone Niagara. If you've driven on Niagara in the past, you know that before, it was a mess. No markings anywhere. It was like, just feel it out and whatever goes, basically from a little before, if you're going from downtown north, from basically the tops north, was like free for all. And they've redone big stretches of Niagara in that area. And it's not a free for all anymore, which is nice because it was terrible. It was the road was about as paved as the surface of the moon. There was no lines. People were going, is this two lanes? Maybe it's three lanes. Like, people were going around you, speeding, like going crazy. You had cars parked in random spots. It was nuts. They've redone it. It's now one lane in each direction, turning lane in the middle, and then if you're driving south on Niagara Street into downtown Buffalo, you've got to your right, on the water side, I should say, that's probably an easier way to put it. To your right, there is a space, right, like a curb. I think they call them, I don't know what they call
curves.
Them. It's a big curb on the right side that separates a dedicated bike lane that goes all the way down Niagara. And I'm assuming that it's the same. I can't really picture how long it continues. I'm assuming that bike lane is the same thing that if you get off of the 190 at Niagara Street, it's the one that you drive over all the time, painted in green, just hoping that you're not going to trample over some poor person on a bike as you're just kind of getting off the highway and going onto Niagara Street.
Yeah, not the best.
But that is, so I'm driving down here, I'm thinking, wow, at the same time, like, wow, this is so much nicer than what it used to be. It looks a million times better, which is not saying the bar was very low. It looks a million times better. Functionally, it's better because there's markings, like you actually kind of know where the road is, which you didn't before. But are we giving just a little too much space to the bike lane? Where on a beautiful, sunny afternoon, 70 degrees, I saw one person on, you know, the entire stretch I drove riding a bike in this bike lane. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a bike lane. I like that we're getting the people who are riding a bike off the road.
Yeah,
get them into their own space. That's a big positive. I like that everything's separated. It's brand new. But the amount of space that we're giving the bike lane, I feel like it's as if we're expecting half of the commuters to switch to bicycles because that's how much space we need.
I was going to say, how many wide could you go in the space that's given on?
I haven't been on the bike lane because, Joe, I drive a car like most people. But on Niagara Street in that area, it's a little too much space for the bikes because on the actual road, we're on Niagara Street. You've got Rich Products there. You've got a lot of big businesses there. You have box trucks now trying to park alongside where there's street parking or be in the middle turning lane. And these lanes are so narrow on the redone portions of Niagara Street that, I mean, you're scraping by. You got to swerve somewhere else. You got to go around into a different lane to get around these trucks that are going to be there because there's businesses that use them. It is a busy road in the city of Buffalo. So I'm a mixed bag on him. Right? Like there are aspects of it that I can't stand like that. And there are parts that I like getting the bikes off the road.
But were these trucks parking there, loading, unloading, hanging into the street before the bike lanes? Because the thing you described with a truck in the middle, turning lane, I see that on Main Street in Williamsville regularly. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that...
Where it's a little too big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you have to avoid anyway. You have to make sure, oh, this person's crossing. I got to see how big these bike lanes are. Like, I'm looking at the Parkside outline. Is that what we're going to call that now? The Parkside outline for what they want? I mean, it does seem a little spacious. Again, I'm not a biker. Maybe that's a better question for Jimmy. How much space does a biker need? Because when I think of bike lane, Brian, I think of what's painted on Sweet Home when we come to work. Like, to me, that's not too big. You know what I mean? That's a bike lane. Enough to fit a bike off the street. Because I do like the idea of the bike not being on the street. Because I think anyone, even Jimmy, who is a biker, I think we could all say, when we see someone in the middle of cars on the street, we get annoyed, right? And our guard goes extra up. So I love the idea of a bike lane. But when I think bike lane, like I said, I'm thinking of what's painted on Sweet Home. You put a bumper or a curb up to separate that. That's what I'm imagining, spacious.
I don't want, and this is another part that you can weigh in on, 803-0930. I'm not a big fan of like the bumpers, those sticks. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
they
yeah.
can put up, I'm best. Those sticks are up. You know what happened to those sticks? They're all plowed down by drivers. Like, they always end up bent over. They look like garbage when they're broken. They don't look that great to begin with. And maybe they're always meant to be temporary, but in a lot of cases, I kind of feel like they're not. You know, that's like the permanent solution. I don't like the look of that whatsoever.
They also add to confusion if you're driving in the rain at night.
It's a lot of junk.
Anything that reflects,
to look at on the road.
Anything that reflects back to you can be the things in the road. It can be the paint on the road. At night, in the rain, it just adds to the confusion when it's already difficult to drive.
Well, there's a lot of people riding their bikes at night in the rain in Western New York.
No, but I'm saying you don't want to.
I'm saying like that's.
Yeah,
you don't want to hit those. It should be a consideration. Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
but that I'm not a fan of. I like what they did on Niagara Street. And in talking to people from Go Bike Buffalo, that's what they want. They don't want to be on the roads. They want like a dedicated space. But how much space do you dedicate? I think that's one of the things that's not really being considered. And do you find it interesting how much pull the biking community in Buffalo, I mean, you got to hand it to them. It's not the majority of people. It really isn't. But they have been loud. They have been really advocate. I mean, they've been out there and they have become such a force that they're able to go down streets in Buffalo like Kramer, you know, but instead of getting rid of the lines, they're like hanging out of their, you know, well, they don't drive. They're hanging on the side of the sidecar to the bicycle, just painting lines down streets because they're allowed to do so. I mean, it is amazing that this group of people who ride bicycles have gotten that much power. They're able to do this. I love this quote. It's in the Channel 2 story on this issue on Parkside that they, I'm trying to, it's somebody with Go Bike Buffalo. That, or no, no, wait, excuse me, it's not. It's somebody they talk to just who's in the area about the lack of communication ahead of the changes. And this person said that that is what really started this off. This is the quote. They also really didn't account for elderly who maybe are not familiar with using QR codes. Like, yeah. Like, if that's your way of communicating, hey, we're going to paint a bunch of lines here on this intersection. You'll figure it out. And if you don't, here, to explain it to you, scan this QR code. Like, come on. Give me, you know what should be on? The road should be the simplest thing. As few lines as possible.
Yes.
As few directions as possible. This is why, like, roundabouts should be very simple. I think they're not, the reason why a lot of people don't like them is because all of a sudden you start to add in a lot of signs, different lanes. Now, the new roundabouts are more complicated than the older ones.
Yes.
The newer ones I don't like as much because they'll put, it's like two lanes in the roundabout with more arrows, and it's supposed to direct you, but they're almost over-explaining it to where it becomes more confusing, and you're like, wait, I'm in this lane. How do I get to that lane? Because I got to get off here.
Yeah, because you got idiots behind the wheel. Yeah, go on.
Well, it's like you start to understand the confusion because it's being over-explained on the roads when things should be communicated as simply as possible. That's not what's happening with a lot of these bike lanes. Case in point, anywhere you see these green strips, whether it's off the 198, my favorite one that I pass all the time, when you're getting off the 190 onto Niagara Street downtown in Buffalo, and what am I supposed to do here? I mean, like, what am I supposed to do? It's a green bike lane. I need to be in here to
get out.
Drive, yeah, to get out. So I'm cutting across it. I'm going to stop in it to make sure I don't hit a car that's coming on. And that's what I'm going to do. Right here by our work, Joe, Sweet Home, when it comes up to Maple, there's a bike lane that runs along the side of Sweet Home.
Yes.
It's we used to call it the curb of the road, right? Like the, or just like the shoulder. And, but now it's a bike lane that, you know, Picasso came in, painted a bicycle.
There's
and
the
now
bicycle, yeah.
The road shoulder became a bike lane. And that bike lane, when it opens up on Maple to, you have a one, well, it doesn't really open up, but it splits. So it's two lanes on Sweet Home. And the right, or the, excuse me, the left lane becomes the lane that you are keeping on Sweet Home once you hit Maple. There's a turn lane that if you want to turn left. And then the right lane splits off into a right turn lane if you want to turn right onto Maple, but crosses over this new bike lane.
Yep.
And what am I supposed to do there? Like if I'm in I'm driving down and now all of a sudden there are these lines in the middle of the road with a painting of a bicycle on it, and I'm like, whoa, oops, I don't think there's anyone, you know, riding a bike here. Am I supposed to be expecting people to ride a bike here? I don't really know what's going on.
I got to get to the turn lane.
Hopefully we don't sideswipe somebody.
Yeah. I mean, and the bike lanes that you see on Sweet Home, I mean, that's what, and tell me if I'm wrong, but isn't that what Go Bike and all these, that's what they're trying to get rid of? They want these more dedicated, separated from, clearly separated from the road, so you can't just drift in to the lane. Is that what I'm understanding is the next step? That's what they're trying to do. I also, and
again, I know we have Jimmy on the other side of the glass. He's a biker. I'm sure he uses the bike lanes. But you're doing all this work. Don't you eventually want to see large groups of people in these bike lanes? And if you're not, do you go, maybe we don't go as far as we're going? Well, so like, so I mean, I hate to be...
That's the big dilemma, Joe.
Yeah.
That's the big dilemma. Because in order to do it right, I think you need to do like what's done on Niagara. Someone on the text board saying, oh, yeah, they ruined a stretch of Delaware Avenue, too. And I think I know the stretch that you're talking about on Delaware, where it's, you know, now all of a sudden, like, ugh, like I get me off this road. To do it right, you have to do what they did on Niagara Street. Now, again, I would like the road part to be bigger and the bike lane probably a little smaller because still need to get cars and big trucks and everything through. But that, to me, is the right way to do it, where it's not I have a bike lane cutting in through traffic when you do this or that. It's its own dedicated thing. It's off the road. It's the bikes are over here. However, like that is the more expensive option than just painting the green strip on the shoulder of the road. How much do you do the better way because it's better, even though realistically you are not going to have the traffic to justify spending more than just on the green strip?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that question.
And that's,
I still want to say it's worthwhile to get the bikes off the road and have that bike lane over there.
Yeah, I'm all for getting the bikes off the road, right? And I think everyone behind the wheel would agree. But I do think you've done the project in one place, and you're seeing, as you said, Brian. Did you say you did see one person, or you saw no one go down that bike lane?
My entire trip down Niagara Street, I saw one guy.
So you did see one person.
He was motoring. He was trying his best to keep up with me. And there were enough red lights. He did for a little while, but I got him.
You look at that and you see the disruption that's caused on the street. And Brian, if you have a truck hanging out into a lane, I mean that is a possible safety issue. You know what I mean? I mean that mm-hmm. you don't want parked vehicles hanging into the driving lane.
And Niagara is not one of these streets that I think. I mean Niagara, it's in a commercial district. There's
right.
businesses there. It's a main route into the city of Buffalo. It's not one of these streets that you are looking at and say, oh, we need to cut the lanes like to be extra narrow so that people will go slower. Like that should not be the goal on a street like that.
Right.
In neighborhoods, yes, that's a fine idea to get people to slow down a little bit. That's not the road where you need that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Brian, I'm like you. I'm kind of split, but I also I think it's real. I think it's reasonable to ask if how often is this going to be used, summer, and by how many people, and is it worth the confusion that we are causing? Is it worth the money that we're spending? And is it worth the possible safety hazards to the drivers, right? The road still, at the end of the day, and I hope I'm not offending any bikers out there, the road at the end of the day are for the vehicles that are on it. Are they still the number one priority, and is the road as safe as can be? Those are the things that you should be looking at.
Don't worry. Jimmy's not listening. He won't be offended. I do my part to get the bike off the road every day when I put a big stick in the spokes of Jimmy's bike.
Don't get me wrong. I don't currently own a bike, but when I'm on vacation, Brian, I do like to rent a bike and ride it around the town. But again, when I say town, I mean like, you know, if you're in Miami, which this was a decade ago now, you rent it and you ride along the beach. Now, I'm not one to ride my bike in the road. I just never have been.
Yeah, it's Western. We live in the Northeast where it snows and it's cold and rainy all winter. And if you're riding a bike in the winter, you're going to be the person that's your primary mode of transport. There are people who, I see them out there, but it is not ever going to be a majority of people where every single road throughout the region needs to be designed with that in mind.
Yeah, I will take your argument when we talked about the subway system, right? And we talked about expanding the subway system. If you think adding bike lanes are going to make make more Western New Yorkers bikers, I will say what you said with the subway.
Mm-hmm.
We are devoted to, we want to get from A to B, and that car in our driveway is getting us there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would ride my bike some places, right? I don't want to be sweaty when I get to a lot of places.
No.
That's part of it.
I'm sure the older my son gets, I'll get a bike so I can ride around. But mm-hmm. for me, it would never be a mode of transportation. Like Jimmy, he rides it to work, which is great. He also rides when, you know. Oh, no. He doesn't come in the same time as I do. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say when no one's on the road.
But I don't know. I do think it is a tough question. You know, how much do you really give in to the bike lanes? Because it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you...
There's a lot of good ideas that just...
There are a lot of good ideas that you don't need.
Yeah. There are a lot of good ideas that don't make sense in Western New York.
Yeah. One of them's maybe being talked about with the Kensington Expressway project in just about 5 minutes from now. You'll hear more about that throughout the day on WBEN. And speaking of getting from point A to point B, or I want to get in my car and get there in 15 minutes. Tomorrow, I want to dive into this a little bit, Joe. Do you ever cross the border? Or how often? I mean, do you ever is, you know, of course you do. But how often do you cross the border? And I'm not talking about the Rainbow Bridge or the Peace Bridge. How often do you cross the border between the North Towns and the South Towns?
And I'm excited to have this conversation as someone who's had perspective in both.
Yes. That, I think, is, you know, barring any changes, what we're going to be talking about tomorrow when we come back. You got David after the news with Lucas. You've been listening to Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer on WBEN.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.